Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready? Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
I just want to welcome everyone. Thank you all for coming and to come listen here today on the Thriving Marriage podcast. So today we are going to be talking about a few really important things. You might have seen in the title, we're going to be talking about, you know, what happens as marriages fall apart. Like, why doesn't reconciliation work? And hopefully, you know, how to avoid some of those problems. We're also going to talk a little bit about patterns in marriage, the kinds of stories that we tell in marriage when we're happy and the ones that we tell when we're not. So we have a lot of things to cover. I'm really excited about getting this going and having you all here. So before we jump into things, before we jump into all the content, I always like, you know, it's the same thing that I do with all my clients when we're doing our group sessions. I always like to lead off with some things that are going well, some wins. And so I've been looking through the Facebook groups. I've been talking to, you know, my clients. And, you know, I like keeping track of where things are going well and why those things are going well. So I wanted to share a win today before we jump into the meat of this episode, this podcast. You know, I wanted to share a story, about Stephanie. Since I don't ask people, I always like to just shift the names a little bit, but, you know, I like to keep the story intact because I'm not, you know, I don't want to necessarily share people's stories without their permission. So, in this case, Stephanie, she'd been working with me for some time, and her husband had wanted to get a divorce. And this, you know, this is a common story. I hear this a lot. This is, you know, it's a tragic thing. This is why a lot of people are speaking with me, speaking with Heather, because they're trying to fix this very situation. And I was really, really excited for Stephanie because just the other day, she had been talking to me about how her husband had pulled divorce. Or, you know, he had said that, okay, maybe that's not what needs to happen. He pulled that away as an option. Now, I want to talk about what led to this development, why this worked for Stephanie. And I want to know if any of you are in a very similar situation. If you are, if your spouse has talked about a divorce, if you've been struggling to figure this out, you know, how to get them to pull back, why don't you just share, just say, hey, yeah, that's me. But anyways, how did Stephanie get her husband to go from wanting this divorce to pulling back from that idea? And so, one, you know, Stephanie and I worked on correctly identifying how her husband handles conflict. And so we identified this and we figured out that her husband really tended to avoid really confrontational situations. Hey, Trish. Thanks for saying hi. So her husband was really avoiding confrontation, didn't like talking about difficult things. And so we had to go into the situation understanding some of these things. We also took time to identify some of Stephanie's own patterns in those really hard moments. And so we took a lot of time trying to change her own patterns when discussing difficult matters. Now, for Stephanie in particular, she tended to clamp down on things and try to control situations a whole lot. And this caused her husband to shut down and to avoid and to back off. And instead of doing this, you know, she approached her husband again and she took time to listen to her husband's concerns. Asked questions and, you know, just really took a lot of time helping him to feel safe about sharing some of the things that are going on. Even further, this was something that she had been doing previously. She used to get defensive when complaints would come up, and she didn't do that. Instead, she in some ways validated some of her husband's concerns. And by the end of this conversation, she was able to get it to a point where he was saying, okay, well, maybe we should try some things. We can see what's happened. I can at least take divorce off the table. And so we can see that a lot of little things happen to make sure that we could get to this step. And so I always love sharing these sort of stories because it's interesting to analyze why things go well and how we might be able to apply that to our own relationships. So anyways, like I said earlier, I was really excited about some of the things I wanted to talk about today. Now, in addition to discussing, you know, what causes marriages to fall apart, and, you know, what prevents reconciliation, talking a little bit about patterns, we are going to do a giveaway here as well. I'm going to be giving away to three people who are on the stream free one-on-one sessions with myself. So we're always looking to give back to our community. We're always looking to give all of you opportunities to get some help from us. And so, you know, if you stick around, I'm going to be looking at who's here on the stream, and we'll be giving away some free sessions. Hey, Stephanie. Hi, April. Good to see you here. So, like I said, we're going to, I wanted to talk a little bit about what can really get in the way of reconciliation at times. Because I see so many of my clients, people that I work very closely with, they struggle a lot. They say, okay, well, I'm making changes. I'm doing lots of things differently. I'm trying to be a better person. Hey, Brian. Trying to be a better person, I'm doing all these things, but for some reason reconciliation, you know, my husband, my wife just isn't really coming back. And so what gets in the way here? And I've determined that there's generally a couple things. One very much so is the kind of stories that get told, you know, before things go bad, while things are going bad, you know, in this period here, the kind of stories that we tell while we're happy or while we're trying to reconcile. But also, I notice a lot of people, they get stuck in these patterns that they don't even see. And they do the same thing, even though they say that they've made changes. Their spouse might be doing some of the very same things that they used to. And it sucks them into these old patterns that aren't really working out. Sarah's saying that's where she is at right now. Is anyone else kind of stuck at the stage where, like, you've made changes, you've done lots of things differently, trying to see what you can do to win your spouse back, and it just doesn't seem to be working? If that's you, I mean, you're probably right here. So I want to talk a little bit about the stories that we tell ourselves and how that can have a huge impact on the outcome of our situations. So, you know, when I'm talking about stories, these are things like how we describe things, how we think, how we feel about them, because it absolutely has a huge impact. So I want to talk to you guys. I'm sure a lot of you probably try to forget these years, but, you know, I'm going to talk to you about myself as a teenager. So you're going to learn a little bit about teenage Mark here. So I remember in middle school and high school, I always viewed myself as a bit shy, a little bit introverted. I didn't really like reaching out to other people. It got to the point where I started talking about myself, you know, I think about myself, like, I kids didn't want to be around me. I considered myself almost undesirable, like this, almost like this pseudo depression. I don't know if any of you guys all felt similarly, and, you know, it's middle school, early high school, it's an awkward time. But that was me. And I struggled to really make friends during that time until, I can't even remember why, but I signed up for some theater classes in high school, which is, you know, it seemed like an interesting idea. I knew maybe a couple people in there, and Can you imagine? Here's me. I'm not really all that outgoing, and I start getting into theater. And you know, I remember one of my first performances, sitting on the side of the stage, like nervous as hell. I had no idea how I could walk out there. But I, you know, as I continued on, I learned to not really be that concerned with what other people thought about me, which was a huge thing. And I really started opening up. Now, this is the reason why I'm sharing this story. Is I learned after the fact, you know, towards, you know, as I was getting, you know, my senior year, I learned after the fact that there'd been a whole lot of people that thought I was avoiding them. They thought I wasn't, you know, interested in being their friend. I also learned that there were several girls that actually had crushes on me. They were interested in me. I had no idea because I kept telling myself, okay, I'm not that kind of person. So any of you have that sort of experience there where, you know, you've come to find that the perception, other people's view of yourself is different than you thought. I'm going to share a couple other stories, and then I'm going to connect all these together. Hi, Marie. I'm seeing your comments there. I've seen a lot of the people I work with. I always enjoy seeing clients and people I work with around here. It's always kind of nice. Yes, Crystal, you too. So we'll fast forward a few years. To me, and I see a lot of you have a lot of the same sort of experiences there. Fast forward a few years, and I'm dating my wife. So we started dating my late teens, and we dated for about a year. I think when around the time we were 18 and 19, we're very close in age. And after we dated for a year, I ended up moving away for a while. We ended up keeping in touch, but not really. Until about 2 years later, and I moved back to where she was. And she was really, my wife Jen, she was really hesitant to resume a relationship with me. And, you know, I thought to myself, no, this can't be. No, I'm going to date this woman. I even thought, you know, I'm probably, you know, I'd really like to marry this woman, even at that time. So I was respectful and confident. I kept telling myself she just needs to get used to me. The thing is, if I took what she was saying and made that my story, she's not interested in me, like I did so many times before when I was younger. I would never have resumed dating her. We would have never been married. And even now, that while we are married, I want to talk about, you know, just the kind of stories that we tell each other to reinforce what's going on here. My wife and I, almost on a daily basis, we talk to ourselves, we talk to each other, we talk to other people about how she and I are meant to be together, how it was very monumental, it was meant to be. We talk about how we tell each other, you know what, this might be hard right here in the moment, but it doesn't have to, you know, it's not always this hard. We tell a certain story that really reinforces and strengthens the marriage. And here's the thing. At each of these points, I want to point out different parts of the story that I was telling myself. As a teenager, I had a view of how other people perceived me. And it affected how I approached other people, even though my story was incorrect. Hey, Mark. So my story about other people, how other people perceived me, was incorrect. And even in the face of my now wife, who was telling me she wasn't that interested in me at the time, even in the face of her telling me that, you know, I told myself a different story, that she, that we were meant to be together, that I was confident in that, that she probably just needed some time, some ability to ease into this. I told myself, even in the face of her telling me something different, and it had a large impact on our relationship. And then now that we're married, now that we continue to reinforce this story, it continues to make every day, you know, I absolutely love being around her. We have this thing that we say to each other when we're especially affectionate. We don't say I love you. We say, you know, I really like you. It means so, more. Like, we always love each other, but, you know, sometimes we don't always like each other. But in those moments, we genuinely just like being around each other. Yeah, and so, Sarah, I mean, you're telling me that you lost, you know, with depression, you stopped saying these things. And here's the thing, it doesn't have to be, okay, it was gone, you've lost it, and now it's gone forever. It doesn't have to be like that. This is something that gets in the way of reconciliation. So when we're applying this to your own marriage, I'm seeing a few things. You have a story about yourself. Like me, I had a story about who I was. And I would say, no, I'm not good enough. I'm not popular enough. No one wants to be around me. You also have a story about how others perceive you or how your spouse perceives you. In this case, you know, right now, I believe my wife, Jen, absolutely loves being around me. And we try to reinforce this. Even if your husband or wife is saying, you know, I don't like to be around you, I don't want to be with you, there's things that you can do, there's ways that you can describe this to adjust this to something a lot more healthy. Perhaps your husband, perhaps your wife is just, they're hurting right now. Perhaps they're depressed. Perhaps they're looking for themselves, but, you know, deep down, they would like to be with you. You are confident that they just need some time. These are the things that I want you to adjust here, is how you view, the way you perceive that your spouse perceives you. And this is because this is going to absolutely impact how you approach your interactions with them. It's the same sort of thing, like if I walked out onto the stage when I was a teenager and I thought everyone's going to laugh at me, everyone's going to hate me, it would really impact my performance. I'm seeing several of you saying, yeah, you're struggling that he hates me. Okay. And they might even say those things. And I'm not talking about deluding or lying to yourself. yeah, this is a bit to get your head around. It's a little bit different. Like, I'm not talking about lying to yourself. You know, if he's saying he hates you, and you say, no, he really likes me. He loves being around me. Well, no, it has, you know, these are things I want you to be able to tell yourself and for you to feel some truth about it, feel some emotion behind it. And I want you to approach this a little bit differently. And I want you to even prepare yourself ahead of time before you meet your spouse. So these are things that you should be keeping in mind. How are you viewing yourself? I have a lot of clients who tell me, you know what? I messed up. I did this wrong, and I did this wrong. I did, you know, all these things wrong. I'm a screw up. I ruined the marriage. And you know what? That story is not going to help you. It's, even if, you know, Jesse's saying she doesn't think that her husband hates her, but even if you don't think he hates her, you can always take it a step further. So if you're saying, okay, I messed up, I'm no good, you know, if you're kind of reinforcing that, how do you think you're going to interact with your spouse as you have this energy about you, that you're this screw-up? Well, is anyone going to really want to really invest in that sort of relationship? No. So keep an eye on how your story about yourself. Number two, you know, take inventory about how you perceive your spouse perceives you. Very recently, someone very close to me, they were getting into it with a close family member. And they kept saying, well, this person, I've messed it up. They don't love me. I've really hurt them. They're not proud of me. They listed all these things. When I've seen them interact, I've seen these people interact, and I'm leaving names out on purpose here, but I've seen them interact, and I see it differently. You know, I see someone who loves and is proud of this person, but she was having a hard time seeing this, and it was affecting how she was approaching this relationship. And you can always adjust this. This is something really important to adjust yourself. So if you know, even if you're taking it from he hates me to he's hurting, and you know, it's natural for someone to be hurting to react like this. He really would actually like to be around if he wasn't hurting so much. You know, I would take it to a point where it feels positive, it feels healthy, it feels good to you. Even if you have to stretch that a little bit. These are the things that you want to hold on to. Many of you who've gone through some of my programs might have been getting into, you know, our morning formula. And if you've have access to that, this is the kind of thing that you should absolutely put into your morning formula. It's just, yeah. I'm looking through the comments here. But yeah, this absolutely is crucial. That you adjust your perception of how other people perceive you. Because it's completely under your control. It's completely subjective to whatever you want it to be. You know, when I'm, like my story earlier, when I was going out on stage, did I know how other people were going to react? No, I chose to view that differently. When my wife is mad at me, because we do have arguments at times, you know, I choose to believe that she wants to make things better. And I approach it like that, assuming the best. Now, there's a really strong case for things like this. There's a whole branch of therapy called narrative therapy, where we rewrite our stories. Even, you know, a very strong intervention for PTSD is about processing stories and rewriting these stories from a place of power. Stephanie, you're asking which section of the morning formula should you add that to? Oh, somewhere on there. You'd have to look at it. I'm trying to remember all the different parts. There's lots of places you could put these sort of things. You don't even have to follow the exact formula. You could add in a new section, like ways I wish to view my relationship with my spouse. And you just go through that right there. But yeah, like I said, there's some very strong argument for doing this sort of thing. Like I said, this is an intervention for PTSD, you know, for situations where someone really gets stuck on how something happened. You know, a lot of the interventions, a lot of the healing that comes about from that is about processing the story, telling it in a different way, telling it from a place of strength. This is, you know, especially with people who have been abused, this is a very healing aspect of that sort of therapy, is taking that same situation and describing it in a more positive terms. A lot of you are asking where to add it. Just make your own section for this. You can add whatever you want to your morning formula. And I'm glad you guys are taking notes. I'm glad this sort of thing is helpful. So here's the thing, though. I've been talking a lot about your own story, how you view yourself, and how you view how your spouse perceives you. But this doesn't even really touch on your spouse's story, which I know a lot of you have been struggling to change. And here's the thing. I know a lot of people are looking for a magic bullet, something to do once and be done. And that's not how this is going to work. It's really hard. You're going to have to let go of that idea of being able to directly control your spouse, but you can nudge them slowly bit by bit. And as you yourself have a very solid, positive story, and you keep approaching it, describing things in certain terms, it has an effect on your spouse. I'll tell you, a lot of the things that I teach today, you know, years ago I thought it was a bunch of I thought it was a bunch of hippie junk. And my wife, bless her, was very persistent in a lot of these things and helping us to get to a healthier place. And, you know, just talking about it here, talking about it there, talking about how this has helped her so much. It started to grow on me, and I started to take hold of it too. I began to describe things a little bit differently. So this all, I talk about adjusting people's story a lot, and it's such a personal thing. It's hard to get into very broad strokes about how to make adjustments with this, which is why we have other services, why we try to work very closely with people to help them through these things. Because this is a very hard thing to do, to look at your own story and say, you know what, maybe I have been describing things differently. It's hard to view yourself critically like that. It's hard to know how to make these small adjustments in your supporting your spouse. And this is why I also wanted, why I'm tying in the other topic here that I'm just going to touch on briefly is patterns. And, you know, I'm seeing your question there, Trish, do I have a recommendation for a video recommendation? Mm-hmm. After seeing your spouse after a long time apart, if you're able to make it to one of the, because Trish, I know you work with us, if you're able to make it to one of the group meetings, I might be able to get, point you in a really good direction at that point. Right now I'd have to look it up. And So anyways, like I was saying, the, people get stuck in their stories, but they also, there's other places that they get stuck. I tend to see that a lot of couples, when they get stuck, they're probably stuck in some sort of, they're stuck in these patterns. There's lots of different patterns that come up. Lots of patterns that really tear a marriage apart. And I could go into all sorts of different theories, different people's thoughts on this. Like, I really like Gottman. Yeah, I was having a brain fart there. I really like Gottman on this. I mean, he talks about certain patterns that really absolutely will destroy a marriage. And I've talked about this several times in different program, the Four Horsemen of Divorce. You know, he talks about, what is it? It's criticism, defensiveness, contempt, and stonewalling. Yeah. Everyone loves Gottman when it comes to marriage. Yeah. He's put in a lot more effort than I have. So, I'm going to absolutely go to him when I'm looking for some really good, solid advice. But yeah, Gottman talks about those patterns. I see other patterns of escalation. I see patterns of avoidance. There's lots of things that could develop into patterns. Now, for you all, it's really important to be keeping track of a few things and to help identify where some of these patterns are. And the questions that I want you to ask yourself, number one, what are the patterns that are causing damage right now? Are there things going on that are causing damage that keep happening? Amy's saying that he's angry and is now refusing to talk in person. There's damage going on there, Amy, and I imagine this is probably indicative that there's a pattern going on that keeps causing the same sort of damage. Otherwise he wouldn't be pulling back so much. I'm sure a lot of the other people, a lot of the others here, if you're seeing ongoing damage here, you probably have a pattern. One way that, possibly with Amy, she might have, I'm just completely spitballing and pulling things out of there. Maybe she approaches this trying to be controlling, and then he gets upset, and then he reacts, and then as he reacts, Amy might shut down and back off, and so that accomplishes you know, what he's aiming to do is, you know, avoid some of the this confrontation. But it's really important to look at the, you know, where these, where this damage is coming from, and see, okay, what is, are there any ties to other times that there's damage? Is there a pattern going on here? Now, obviously, you can't control what your spouse is doing. You can't force them to interrupt your pattern, but you absolutely can control your own part of this pattern. So you ask yourself, okay, are there patterns causing damage? Are there any patterns that are preventing repair? Something that I see very frequently, and something I was just talking about with a client the other day, is being able to go to, you know, I see this a lot, people having trouble going to their spouse after a big blow up and repairing the damage. They might say, well, he doesn't want to talk to me, or they might say, well, he's just going to get upset again, or they might say this or that. These are patterns that are in place that are preventing repair. And, you know, I'm going to go back to Gottman on this, you know, a little bit lesser known material from him, but, you know, he talks about one of the most important skills that a couple can have is the ability to repair things after damage has been done. Because everyone's going to cause damage in their relationship at some point, even frequently. So, are there patterns preventing repair? And then even further, are there patterns that were preventing you from building up your marriage in the first place? These are three types of patterns that I would be looking at and seeing what you can do to adjust in each of those. Yeah, and Stephanie's saying, yeah, repair is hard when it's not well received. I get that. So, I mean, even right there, there is a pattern. I bet if you try to go and repair things and it's not well received, then what ends up happening is you are less incentivized to go repair things, and then he gets upset that you're not repairing things, and it just kind of feeds in on itself. And yes, Marie, this is being recorded, so this should be in the Facebook group here. It'll be here indefinitely. So yeah, you're going to have to take a look at what patterns are going on here. So that's about, we have a couple other things to go over. I just want you to be aware of that, you know, just a small thing here. So we've gone over to, we talked about stories. We've talked about patterns just briefly. And, we're still kind of forming a lot of this stuff with this regular podcast here. You know, as you can see, you know, as evidenced by me running this over the phone here. Another thing that I like to talk about in these sort of things is kind of breaking apart some myths that go on in relationships that, and I you know, when I'm trying to come up with these, I like digging through questions that I see. I like giving real examples. And actually, you know, one of the ones that I wanted to debunk today, I've seen this in several places, that people have sometimes talk about creating, you know, separating or like not calling back, or almost like this idea of like making the other person miss you in order to get them back. I had someone ask me, like, you know, because they had seen it in some other program, other advice, and they had talked about how, okay, you should give them 30 days so that they miss you, and then they'll come running back because they'll realize that they can't live without you. There's kind of this notion right here. And I want to break apart this myth that separation causes healing or causes people to come running back. And I want to explain what's going on here. Because obviously it does work sometimes. I hear people say, hey, it works. because I did it this time and it works. And I want to explain why it works and why it wouldn't work. Yeah, so we'll talk about why it works first. The whole notion here is that, okay, you pull away, you step back in order to help them see what's, you know, help them, maybe even give them a break. What's going on here is this specifically gives them a chance to, one, cool off, and two, have a period where there's not any active damage going on. Yeah, so, I mean, Lolo, you're saying that's my wife. She said, go away to see if I miss you. And here's the thing. You know, it's not going to necessarily magically repair things. What it does is it gives people breaks. It gives them a chance to cool off. It gives them a chance to be there during a period where there isn't active damage going on. And this is, you know, this is the whole purpose of separation. It's to, when things are at a point where there's more damage going on than healing. And if that's the case, then sometimes then a little bit of some separation may be a good idea. And this is, you know, when clients come to me and they ask me whether it's a good idea to do a separation, a trial separation, I'll ask them. I said, well, are you guys fighting a lot? Is there a lot of negative interactions? Are you causing more harm than good when you're together? Well, then in that case, it may be good to have a bit of a break, but with objectives. That's how you do this effectively. If you just say, okay, we're just going to take some time apart without any real plan for it, then what's the goal there? You know, you're leaving it up to fate, essentially. And it's much better if you're going to try for a trial separation, if you're going to have some time apart, that you have specific plans on what you're going to work on, how you're going to come back together, what you're going to do to come back together. You know, a plan, that other end of the plan coming back together. And that's the more important part. Now, when it doesn't work is when you just say, hey, we're going to take some time apart just to see if we miss each other. This is what I call like mind games, and it actually creates a lot of uncertainty. It creates this sense of instability within the relationship where you say, well, my partner's saying, I just need to be away from you. Well, do they even like me? Do they want to be around me? How are we going to get better? Hey, and Heather's here. So I'm going to explain things to Heather. You know, Heather might be seeing this like, what is Mark doing? So we had some technical difficulties. I had to do this on my phone, Heather. So glad that you could make it. You're not, though she's supposed to be on vacation. So I'm going to chide her a little bit saying you should get back to your vacation instead of doing, being here for business, but always welcome, of course. But yes, that's the thing. Separation is not always what everyone else has, what everyone else always describes it as. There's a certain time and a certain place for separation, and it's not meant to be done just willy-nilly. So if you've liked some of the things that I've been talking about today, we have a lot more. You know, as you may know, we're doing this, these live sessions, these podcasts. We're doing this twice a week. And even beyond that, hey, if you guys don't know, we actually do offer other services. I've seen a lot of people on here that I talk with directly. And, you know, I'm not going to speak for them, but I can just imagine the whole reason they're here is because, you know, they might like what we have to say. You know, and I tend to find that being able to work with people directly, it does a lot of good. And there's a lot that we can do once you are working with us directly. So if you are interested, please just book a call, see if this is a good fit for you. You can always go to our website over at highthrivecoaching.com to sign up. Even beyond that, if you're saying, well, you know, I'm not sure, I'd like to just get a little bit of an introduction, you know, maybe check us out a little bit more. Well, we have our newsletter as well. And we would love to get you on our newsletter, because the thing is, our newsletter is not just about news. We're not just, you know, tooting our own horn on there. You know, if this next week, for instance, we are going to be talking about three vital tools to open up communication. And those who have just subscribed to our newsletter will be getting a cool little bonus guide to open up communication. So we're always looking to add a lot of value, even to our free things right here. Thanks, Stephanie. I'm seeing a lot of comments. Marie, you know, I love having you there during the group calls. But yeah, if you're even considering, you know, doesn't hurt at all. Go check out the newsletter. The breakthrough call, that's free as well, just to see if this would be a good fit. So get out there. I know we would love to help more of you out there. So come check us out. So just to recap everything here, I know we've been talking about a lot today. We talked a lot about our own stories, how we describe ourselves, how we see our spouse viewing us. We've talked about a bit about patterns. I shared some embarrassing stories about myself as a teenager. And we talked a little bit about the myth of separation as a cure-all. Like I said, if you're interested, come check us out. We will be doing the next podcast this coming week. And so, once again, it's three vital tools to open up communication. You can get a bonus if you get into our newsletter. So with that, I'd love to see you guys again here next week. I'm really excited, actually, because it's going to be the first time that we're going to be doing this official podcast, Heather and me together. We've been kind of trading off with vacation time a bit here. So if you love to see us together, Heather is amazing. I'm sure you already know if you've already been watching these. So we will see you all then.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.